Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest today is Jessica Greamer from Mediterranean Ceramics. Now, I've been to your shop. It's lovely.
Thank you.
It's lovely. So tell us a bit about the company itself, because it's not a new company.
No, that's right. So we've actually been in the industry for more than 20 years, but Mediterranean Ceramics was set up in 2008, we set up our own factory and production, etc., in 2010. Mm-hmm. So the company is essentially a family-run business by two brothers, David and Brian Greamer. And now myself, Jessica, and my cousin Bettina have entered and joined forces. Uh-huh. So we're now a part of the team at Mediterranean Ceramics. The company focuses on locally producing everything from ceramics, whether it's just a household product or something more of a utility product, let's say a dinner set for a restaurant.
Okay. So you do those amazing tables, yes, over things I love.
And then we have our tables, the lava stone and the volcanic stone tables. Those are entirely 100% customizable, from the shape to the color to the design to the size, whether it's going to be a kitchen counter, flooring, a facade, a bench, anything. And we've also expanded our services, and we now offer clients customized steel production. Okay, so like steel gazebos, steel bases in gold, rose gold, silver, orange, whatever they want. They're all hand built by us in our factory in Taali. Besides that, we've set up our own little boutique store under a different name, operating on the Salt and Sea. It's a collaboration between myself, Carla Grimatelier, and my cousin, of course, Bettina. And together we've joined forces to set up this concept store, selling and housing locally designed products.
Okay.
So proud to be Maltese, and that's what we're promoting in there. And I think it's been, we've had a very positive We've received very positive feedback. People are patriotic. We do believe that we have some of the most talented people in Malta, and we really do. And craftsmanship has always been something very important to my family. And I think the shop has just kind of helped us reach the more millennial.
Yes, because when you travel, you know, there is a thing about picking up your fridge magnet for your auntie, or, you know, you want your salt and pepper set or whatever. But also, like I said, at Salt and Sea, there's the more millennial style products. Yeah, there's a bit of clothing. There's a nice little pots that you can take home. Sort of stuff.
Okay.
So was that easy for your dad and uncle to allow you to do that kind of thing? Because, you know, when the next generation generally comes into a business, it's...
They are very open-minded. They are older now, but they are still very open-minded. What they do very well. So, obviously, it was hard for them to accept a new generation of ideas. But I must say, we do work very well together. They have expertise in areas that I'm still learning. So, for example, how to manage certain factors of a shop, how to manage stock. So they've been a great help in that. But then sourcing the products has been entirely in the female hands. So myself, Bettina, and Carla really and truly do all the sourcing of the products. And I do believe that we've managed to come out with some new projects and new ideas from Salt and Sea that have been translated to Mediterranean ceramics.
Ah, fantastic.
So yes, we've come out with like the nesting tables, really modern, really modern ideas, and they're doing quite well in America. So yes, there's been positive both ways.
So that's another thing. How, you know, I know obviously tourists come, they pick up mm-hmm. a something. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of exporting in one way. But how do you get Mediterranean ceramics in America? How do they know about you? What's the story there?
So it's a lot of hard work, definitely. So essentially, obviously, Mediterranean ceramics is in the crafts village, also known as touristic point. Uh-huh. So that helps. So we are in the heart of a touristic destination. We do offer our clients and customers to enter the shop, enter the cafeteria, and also have a look at the production happening firsthand.
Okay.
So they're getting the firsthand experience. They're seeing the products being made right in front of them. This definitely appeals to the American market, where they don't really go for China products. Mm-hmm. They don't like things that are made without a personal touch. So we've really built a good strategy around that. Mm-hmm. Again, with the UK clients as well, so it's not just the Americans. But my father and my uncle in 2010 set out a plan to literally attack all US markets. And I think they've done a fantastic job. And today, right now, actually, from January to March, we'll be exhibiting at 5 big international shows in the US.
Okay.
I'll be joining my father in Philadelphia. So we'll be doing the Philadelphia Flower Show, which is the very first flower show ever created, before the Chelsea Flower Show. So that's a big one, and you get like 50,000 people a day.
And what do you have there? Your plant pots and your tables and things?
Mainly tables. Ah. So we target the home and garden clientele over there. So we've really and truly, we take orders, we pack them in our pallets, which we pack ourselves, we fumigate the wood ourselves, mm-hmm. so everything is done by us. We ship up to a port, we collect, well, my father collects, uh-huh. gets the trailer, drives it to the home show, and sets up.
Well, I was going to say, that must be quite an expensive business, because it's heavy stuff.
That's it.
So it's got to be worth doing. How did you know that the American market was going to be good enough to take tables to?
It's really and truly, it was the primary research we carried out here in Malta. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, definitely. We have our shop at the waterfront as well. So you're literally getting the first hand Americans coming off the cruise liners. They're looking at the product, they're stunned by the product, and they want to know more. So they actually, more often than not, they will get a cab, get them to the factory, and they will watch the product being made.
Right, okay.
So then it's a matter of, obviously, the logistics, because otherwise it would be super expensive to just ship out one table. And we haven't found billionaire clients yet who are comfortable in doing that. But yes, they're hoping. Yes.
But so currently you ship out in batches, I'm guessing.
That's right, yes. More often than not, yes.
And because it's a handmade product, they understand there's going to be a time delay and that sort of thing. But also, America's a pretty big place. So once it gets to America, you've got to get it
to the right port. Uh-huh. So even that, the shipping has to be done to the right port, of finding exactly the right connections, knowing, you know, for example, Atlanta, the best way to reach Atlanta is through this port. What other surrounding regions can we hit with this port?
Okay.
So it's literally a game of logistics.
And so do you do things like when you have a part shipment, can you then do more marketing in that area to see if you can fill up the container or pallet?
Right. Budgets are very tight, though, and advertising in that manner is super expensive.
Okay.
So that's the one thing that's kind of held us back, definitely. So through the shows, we try to attract more clients so that next year, if it's worth doing it next year, at least we'll already have a foothold, you know.
Yes, in those things.
Yes.
And so what have you learned about dealing with Americans? Because, you know, we speak the same language, apparently. But
spelling is different.
Spelling is slightly different, yes. Yeah. What do they like that the Maltese don't like? Or what do they like that the British don't like? Okay. Is there something a bit quirky about them that other businesses can learn from?
Yes. So they love Mediterranean designs.
Okay.
They love anything with lemons. You know, they're passionate about bringing the Mediterranean to America.
Oh, lovely.
Because they don't have it. They don't. So they try to kind of you know, find ways of capturing the Mediterranean essence and throwing it into their home.
And they have massive homes, I'm guessing, big gardens, lots of space.
They do, the pools run for miles, like, it's incredible. They definitely love the fact that they're a part of the process of the production, so that's very important, that everything is customized for them.
Okay.
So it's not a kind of buy off the shelf product, no, it's, we're making this for you. So that's very important. They even like the fact that we've come out with the modern range, the agate stone range, which has been a really, really, they've responded very positively to it. Again, you're stepping away from the lemons, but you're finding kind of a new taste.
And it gives them something to talk about, because then they can describe it to their friends, I suppose.
100%. And with the agate stone collection, our artists don't actually sign their name.
Okay.
They use their fingerprints as a signature. So it's like their DNA is embedded in the table. And they've loved that. Really, really loved it. They love anything to do with horses, ranches, and all that. So if you're going more Western, and they're adventurous, you know. To them, it's not even about like taste. It's just about a crazy idea, and they just want to paint it on something
different anyway.
Exactly.
So
that's it. Exactly.
So we should we look out for you on any TV programs? Is that something, maybe? You know, that'd be a great way to get some advertising in the States.
I remember the Florida show, they came to interview us because they found out that we had produced a table for Queen Elizabeth when she had visited Malta for the CHOGM 2005, if I'm not mistaken. And they were all over it. You know, anything to do with the Queen is like fascinating to them. So they came to our stand, they had interviewed us. And then you get the, obviously, the trade show kind of broadcasting, which has been pretty good. Because they do find that the product is attractive. So they want to know more. They want to know more about Malta, you know, where we're coming from.
It's the history.
The history, exactly. Most of them think we're Greek or Italian, and it's like, no, I'm Maltese.
We're on our own. We've got our own lemons.
Exactly.
So is America your biggest market outside of the tourism market locally?
Yes, America. We've done a very big project in Dubai, which was amazing. I mean, we literally were up against the Spanish, the Portuguese, and the Italians for this project, and we won it. We basically covered the facade of a luxury building, a luxury hotel, sorry, with all of the villas. So we created about 10,000 tiles, all customized with their designs. And that's on the Palm Jumeirah. So that was a very, very big project we did between 2018 and 2019. So, yes,
that's
I would say.
So how do you find out about that kind of opportunity? What's the process? Is that something that maybe Trade Malta or Malta Enterprise or Chamber of Commerce? How do you find out about that kind of thing?
So the project of Dubai was won by chance. Literally, this really interesting billionaire came to the factory.
Most billionaires, I'm sure, are quite completely fascinating.
Definitely. And he was in awe of the art that we produce in our factory. So he just, I mean, he was just shocked by what a tiny company on a tiny island can produce. And he spent about 2 hours speaking to my father. My father then invited him for tea because he was hungry and he was getting impatient, so he wanted to get home to eat something. So my mom prepared a nice spread, you know, some tea, cake, biscuits in the garden. And we had no idea who this guy was, you know, turned out to be. 2 years later, we got an email from someone in his company. They said, you know, we've approached X, Y, and Z companies. Would you also be interested in kind of, you know, sending us a quote? Can you do this project, etc.? And so we did. And that was it. So it's all about relationship building. However, I must say, Trade Malta has helped us with every other trade show we've ever participated in. So there are many things we wouldn't have been able to do without them, 100%. Like America, Australia, the UK. We're looking into South Africa now as well.
And so do you go places where there's the, you target the markets because the tourists come in, or is it because there's a Maltese community in those areas and there's this sort of link?
No, definitely based on the tourists that come in, okay. where we're exporting to, and the language. Mm. The language, you know, the fact that we can speak English, that's quite important. So we do kind of target countries where language won't be an issue. Mm.
Mm-hmm, yes. And but shipping to somewhere like Australia is going to be phenomenally expensive.
Yes, yeah. Ridiculous.
And there's no way of doing it, maybe, I don't know, getting Maltese artists in Australia to do the work? I don't know.
No, it's something we've looked into. Mm. It's something we have looked into. It's up in the pipeline. Mm. So that's where my cousin and I come along. Mm-hmm. And we're carrying out the research for all of this. But again, a lot of primary research still needs to be concluded before knowing exactly. Again, Australia is massive, so you need to be able to tell, you know, which part of Australia, which part of America, where is it worth it, where do they have industry, where do they have talented workers, where's the craftsmanship industry. So there's a lot of back and forth going on.
So it's
on.
a lot of research based.
A lot. Yes, yes. You're literally looking into new laws, new bank accounts, new everything.
It's fun.
It's very fun. It's
super fun. Keeps it interesting. But again, with the Australian market, it sounds like it's a project that's ongoing, and the South African. Are they completely different again to the Americans?
In terms of taste, no.
Okay.
They pretty much love what the Mediterranean, you know, that's it. That's their thing. Mm. But I would say there are some differences when it comes to sizes of tables, when it comes to kind of the shape of the table. So like the Americans would rather a round table, whereas South Africans would rather a rectangular table, for example. So you start noticing these really random differences, but they're important.
Yes.
They are very important.
Well, that must everything, you know, packaging, shipping, even, you know, your pricing.
Yes, definitely. You have to take that into consideration. Whether you're going to offer a holistic package, so chairs included, chairs separate. Some don't want the base included, they want the base separate. So it's all a matter of researching.
So how do you find that out? Is it purely on historical orders that you go through and you see, oh, look, how funny is that? They've got, you know, 18 rounds and one square. Or is it that you actually ask people in advance what sort of things, or do you go to estate agents? How do you do this research?
No, definitely the first point. So basically we would look at the history of orders coming from that country. We would even kind of check exactly the localities, if there's a particular common address. So you have to kind of go through all this nitty-gritty research. Even if someone comes in and just asks for a quote, we do try to collect information, you know, about the client. So it helps, it helps. And a lot of clients that come in really do want to get the product into their country. It's really funny. I mean, you get so many people coming in and saying, oh, have you ever thought of opening something in Australia? Oh, we'd be interested in being an agent. No. So people do appreciate the product. They love that it's a niche product. And you do get, obviously, that kind of client who's into art, etc. So if someone like that comes along and is an interesting prospective agent, then you just jump. You go for it, definitely.
And so that's now in yours and your cousin's realm.
Yes.
Okay, so all the relationship building, all the flights to Australia.
Yeah, sounds glamorous, but it really isn't.
But not if you have to carry a table under your arm.
No, my God. Oh, that's another issue that's going to come into play, definitely, the weight of the product.
Yes.
So even for us to kind of set up trade fairs abroad, it's going to be a problem, you know. I mean, I physically, there's no way.
You can lift those things, yeah.
Forget it.
Maybe you should start with plant pots.
Exactly.
Egg cups might be better.
One of the best-selling items.
Egg cups.
For UK clients.
Really?
And
I love
collect
them.
Egg.
Yeah. No, I love them all day.
They're amazing.
I do have a drawer full, but it's not because I collect them. I just see them and like them.
And that's
maybe
it.
That's
it's a collection.
Yeah, okay. You got me. But it's like, you know, you draw faces on the eggs.
Exactly.
And, you know, to match the egg cup. So
exactly.
Maybe. Oh no, we'll talk about that.
Okay, business idea.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, interviewing Jessica Greimer from Mediterranean Ceramics. So, how did the tables come about? Because you do a whole load of other products as well. These tables can be left outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Wind, rain, Mediterranean sun.
So we noticed that there was a demand and there was a gap in the market for something that was super durable, not just in Malta, but obviously overseas. And that's where my father and my uncle decided, okay, with Mediterranean ceramics, that's it. Focus, local production. So let's invest in the right machinery, the right techniques, the right paints, the right colors, you know. There's an entire process that goes into it. So they grasped the know-how, and from there we started developing more interesting product options. So going with the kitchen tops, going with the benches, going with weirdly shaped tables, whether it's a hexagon or just a really odd cut shape. So it was very important that, okay, we now know the know-how, how can we expand? How can we differentiate ourselves from competition? Now, the stone itself, the lava stone and the volcanic stone, are both extremely durable. So they can take our sunshine, they can take snow, they can take frost. You can chop on them, you can place super hot borma on them, anything. So you're literally in a kitchen and you can dance on it, do what the hell you want.
In stilettos.
In stilettos. Okay. And I've done it. So, tried, tested, proven, 100% guarantee. And that's where the steel production came in. So, how do you support what you're producing?
Yes,
how do you support this weight? And that's where we said, okay, that's it. We need to be at the forefront of steel production now. And that's how we've merged both products together. And again, with the nesting tables, it's an entirely new product line, product range. But the beauty is that no one set of tables will ever be the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So we've produced for hotels in Malta, we've produced for restaurants, shops, etc. But even if they do go for the same design, they're never going to be 100% the same.
So,
that's it.
Because they're hand-painted.
That's it, exactly. I mean, there's human error in a handmade product.
It's an artistic license.
I like that. We'll go with that.
Artistic license. So, you know, this flower might have more of a smile on its face than, you know, the next one. So, about the designs, you said you can actually have anything you want as well?
Yep. I've had a friend of mine, actually, who came out with her own graphic. And we just helped her alter the colour slightly, because when you translate something digitally, the colours on a ceramic is very different, even on a lava table. We don't work with Pantone, so it's all a mix of colours. It's pigments.
Oh, wow, okay.
So there's that process as well. You have to appreciate that even the colour, you know. You might have ordered this table in 2010 and you want to reorder that table in 2020. Colours are not going to come exactly the same. 100%. So yes, you can literally give me your logo. You can give me a piece of fabric, a dress, a curtain, anything. And we can do that exact design.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes. Exactly. We've had clients coming in to sign their own name on the table to really make it something.
That's really sweet.
Personal.
Yes. You said about doing tiles as well, so you could actually do a whole house full of floor tiles and
floor.
Anything along those lines.
Exactly.
So what's the wildest thing you've been asked for, whether it's decoration or actual product itself?
Okay, so this was an English client who was in love with Doctor Who.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Doctor Who?
Yes, yeah, Daleks and things.
It's a very interesting design that came out of this passion for Doctor Who. And oh my God, we produced this table. It was literally Doctor Who inspired, with a bit of more of a space aspect to it. And the client started crying when she saw it. She was so happy with it. We just looked at each other like, okay, phew, thank God, because it was a really strange, very particular taste. But it worked out really well.
She loved her Doctor Who table.
She loved it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to vision.
No, honestly, can't
imagine that. So, but have you got new product lines in mind? Is there other things that you and Bettina want to sort of invest in and export?
Constantly.
Yeah.
So we're now looking into coming out with an entire kind of really luxury range of outdoor furniture, including sunbeds, gazebos, like some pool tables and, uh-huh. and you know, just coming out with something really five-star luxury.
Just for hotels targeting exactly. and nice, you know, nice homes, nice gardens type
exactly.
of thing.
That's
what about
it.
The poor people with just balconies?
Well, we have a lovely range of products. We have a cute ceramic. We're coming out with new ceramic teapots also, bowls and kitchenware sets. So mm-hmm. it's all the range.
No, I love everything bright. If people come into my house and it's not the interior designed beige, it is a car crash of colour. I refer to it as my gypsy caravan doll's house.
You know, exactly.
Literally every colour you can have is there. So I do like a bit of bright. I do like a bit of bright. So I'm looking forward to that. Anything else that we should know about exporting? What about things like insurances and shipping and all of that stuff? Do you have specialists involved in that, or is it quite a small operation?
It's my father and really and truly my uncle who handle all of this. Mm-hmm. We're kind of dipping our toes into it slowly. But yes, it's very complicated.
Because there's loads of documentation you have to have and customs. And what about the expectation of clients? Because obviously the product takes mm-hmm. time to prepare mm-hmm. and then it's going to take time mm-hmm. to ship.
We literally go through the entire process with the client. So even the production process, mm-hmm. we constantly send videos to the client, photos to the client, because otherwise they're just wondering, you know,
where
I paid
is,
a deposit, so what on earth is going on? So really and truly, we make sure that they are part of the process. Because uh-huh. last minute they might say, can you add this in the table? Can you add that? So that's perfectly fine. And then as soon as the product is put onto the pallet and the pallet mm-hmm. is closed, we send an email to all the clients. And again, we inform them of the tracking number so that they know exactly what's going on with their shipment.
Because, just a long process. How long does it take from, say, ordering table to receiving table in the States?
It can take about 3 months.
Okay, so it's actually not that bad.
Not that bad. I mean, that's on a good day.
Yeah. But if you imagine it can take that to order a bookcase from Italy.
Exactly.
It drives me nuts. But if you're doing something, at least if you've got something bespoke and you're going that far, at least you have the excuse for, you know, a 3 month delivery.
Exactly. And you have to build trust with the client because at the end of the day, you're overseas, you know, they've met you once only. And it's very important to just give them that, like, family touch, you know, that they understand that they can trust us and they're dealing with the people they met in store. So that's important.
And that table's for life. I mean, if it lasts that long, it's not something you can accidentally break.
Exactly.
You know, if you decided you've gone off it.
100%.
I think I've just given away one of my secrets. Anyway, it's been really fun talking to you, Jessica Grima from Mediterranean Ceramics. And I'm going to go home and test my table with the stilettos.
Very good.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmelo Grech and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM.